that we've got in this year's assurance framework have been driven locally. We've changed the structure to try and make it slightly more user-friendly. It isn't a beachside read. It's not going to be your first place to take one to the Sun Lounger, but we have tried to make it slightly more user-friendly. We've added a guide to governance, which, again, just trying to make the very complex governance situation that we have slightly more understandable to people. And the changes in the content have really been restricted to the changes that we've made as part of the Let Review, which I'm not going to go into any detail today because it has been discussed at a very great length, and I don't think any of us want to go through that again. The changes to the local assurance framework will mean that it is fully compliant with the national assurance framework. There's been no changes to things like the prioritisation process, remains as it was. There's also been no change to the investment panel membership. It was agreed by this board that we wouldn't review investment panel membership as part of the Let Review driven governance changes, not to say that the board could reconsider that membership at a later date. And if the board does agree the assurance framework, it will be adopted formally on the registration of Select Limited, which will be on the 28th of February. It breaks down broadly into these sections, who we are, so how we're structured, the roles of the different different component parts of the wider partnership, how we work, principles of public life, the registers of interest. I think that's probably a really key bit for board members to understand their responsibilities and what they need to be doing. How we make decisions, who can decide what and when. That's the key point around investment panel. And how we manage our programmes, which is pretty much what we've just been discussing in the previous item, how we ensure that the programmes run in a robust way that ensures value for money. I'm not going to go into the details, as I said. We've kept it as close to current operating procedures as possible, because again, it was an agreed principle of the board when we started the Let Review work that we would keep as close as possible to how we have been operating, as that seems to work. And if any board members want to have any detailed discussions on any of the government stuff, I'm always there. It's at the end of the phone. Amy's always there as well. If there's anything that you need help on, please do just give us a shout. I have a different slide. Okay, well, I was just going to tell you a little bit about the Nolan principles, but I've lost that slide somewhere. Okay, there is going to be an induction process, as Adam mentioned earlier, for all new members of the board. Lots of people around the board will be really aware of the Nolan principles, so I won't go into any depth now, but I guess that's a key point. If everyone around the board is abiding by those seven principles of public life, all our policies have been driven to apply with that. That's the key thing to keep doing, and you can't really go wrong if you conduct yourself in that way. Would it help for us to take any questions on the assurance framework
any
now?
Any questions or comments on the assurance framework? It's fairly straightforward, George.
Just as a sort of pedantic matter of technical detail, this board does not have legal personality.
Correct.
The new board will have legal personality. This board cannot bind the new board. At best, we can recommend these terms of reference, but they have to be formally approved and adopted by the new board.
Thank you. That's, I guess that's right.
Yep. How
we miss Douglas.
Exactly.
Well, I thought I'd cheer you up.
Any other Douglas type comments?
No,
George changed
his name to Douglas.
No. Okay, so in that case, I would suggest rather than agree this, we'll recommend it to the board. Okay. Thank you.
We need to agree it at this point.
And also recommend.
You need to have it.
Yes, we need to agree it now and then, but also to recommend it to the board. Okay, thank you.
Agree.
Okay, so then there's also part of the review of the assurance framework, we had a look at the policies. As George rightly points out, we don't want to put new policies into place now because we need to go through a process in March for the new board, then adopts all the new policies. There was one policy that clearly needed looking at because we had three policies that were effectively doing almost the same thing, and there were things in those policies that weren't really anything to do with recruitment. So we've consolidated our board recruitment policy. This would need to be adopted now to cover the period from now until the new board comes into place, but as a technicality we do need to have it in place. We've just done a bit of tidying up really and some some more work around succession planning and fed in some of the lessons learned from the deputy chair recruitment. So is there anything specific on the board recruitment policy?
Great, and that is agreed and recommended, whatever the right formula is. Thank you.
And then, the terms of reference clearly belongs to the new board. We've included it here only for information. It keeps as close as possible to the old terms of reference, but needs to be updated because the board has a legal personality. It will come back to probably the first item on the agenda of the new board's meeting on the 20th of March. If there is anything that people want to reflect back to me now on what they think should be in there, or wants to email me so we can bring an updated version to the board in March, happy to take all comments.
We're happy with that. Great, thank you. Okay, I think I have to vacate Chairman's George.
Now he's walked out of the room and gets to do my very favourite thing, which is chair a select board meeting in Chris's absence. The obvious...
Up here. sorry. Eating Tourette's.
The item refers to the chair's term, the extension of that. Board members, you'll be aware that Chris has completed his second two-year term as chairman of the LEP, which ends on 21st of March. Chris has indicated that he very much would like to complete a third and final two-year term as chair. The paper sets out two options, one to extend his chairmanship, and the other, obviously, to go through a process similar to what we've just run for the deputy chair recruitment, which George will reflect shortly, and choose to not extend. I guess our recommendation clearly is that we go down the route of extending Chris as chair for a further 2 years. And really, I just wanted to see the board's agreement with a show of hands.
Absolutely.
Unanimous. Thank you.
Yeah.
Adam, just one point before you get back in. The £20,000 payment. This is a benchmark figure across all LEPs.
Pretty much.
So
the only thing I would add, if it is, it seems light.
Some
view of the size of the LEP here, and I don't know what weight this board has, this current board, or whether we have to wait for the next board to have more weight. But I think there's an argument here, wherever that argument goes, to relook at that, because it seems light in the demands of a new board, but also it seems light in the size of this LEP and what's expected of that position.
I think they're probably, I agree with you, Perry.
I'm not sure where that argument goes.
Two things at play, really. One really is around the funding that we get from government. So next year's funding is as yet not confirmed. So that puts some constraint on what we can do. The other thing, actually, is some LEPs don't, there's no allowance for chairman. Yeah. I don't think anybody goes higher than 20 either, so we are at the sort of high level for many of the reasons you just indicated. But I do think, absolutely, as we embed the new company and we sort of look how that goes over the course of the coming months, it's something to look at.
I think it certainly should be considered, because when we go into a legal personality, there's a whole different set of responsibilities all around. We are three times the size of most LEPs. So, I mean, there's a completely different view when you look at the table.
Certainly, can we please minute Perry's point for further consideration at the appropriate moment?
Yeah. Any further comments from under that table? Okay, thank you.
I hope he's still here.
Yeah, I didn't mean it. I didn't really want to stay.
No, I haven't. Do you want to tell him?
No.
Oh,
Great to see you. Yes. So I gather that I've been re-elected, so thank you for I would just also say that I wasn't going to say this at the beginning, but I'll say this now, and that was that, because otherwise it would have been a very short appointment. But I have been nominated to be the rep on the LEP network board for the south of the south. So that's basically the eight LEPs surround London nominate a chair to go onto the LEP network board, and they have I've been nominated. So rather than being a 6-week appointment, it will now be a 2-year appointment. So thank you for that. I thought I'd just mention that. So okay, and next item is the deputy chair appointment. I was unfortunately I was ill last week, so I wasn't able to participate in the process. So I'll hand over to George, who chaired it very ably in my absence.
Thank you, Jim. First of all, let me express my thanks to the other panel members who are listed, specifically Roger Goff, Angela O'Donnell, who all contributed to the discussion and the deliberations, and also to Adam, Suzanne, and Daniel Foster from Essex County Council Human Resources area, who were there to support us and be our, I suppose, our thought police in the process.
Your thought police.
the candidates had all met Chris and all spoken to Chris, so Chris was not outside, and indeed Chris participated in the various discussions on shortlisting as we ran up to the final shortlist of candidates to interview. Candidates were asked to do a brief presentation about the future of our town centres and initiatives to revitalise them. We also did a social media search to see that there's nothing in the woodwork that could come out to embarrass Celep. The panel met the two candidates that were left on the shortlist and concluded that both of those candidates were appointable. The panel's preferred candidate by some margin was Sarah Dance. She demonstrated detailed understanding of the challenges that Celep faces, the role that she could play in supporting Chris and indeed the board as a whole, and indeed her presentation on the future of the High Street was actually well planned and well delivered. Evidently, she had given that some thought and had got some knowledge of that. Having said that, the panel was concerned that Sarah comes from a single specific sector, the creative sector, and wanted to be assured that she could engage with business more generally. In the process of the interview, she was quite clear that she has run all of her creative businesses on a very commercial basis, so she understands the commerciality, even though she was in the not-for-profit sector. She has lived and worked in Essex in the past. She now is a council taxpayer in Folkestone, I believe, so so she lives in Kent, and of course she is the co-chair of the South East Creative Industry Sector Network. There was, I consulted with my fellow vice chairs in the run-up once we got the shortlist and took their comments on board. And I think the panel addressed all those comments. The other point I would make that Sarah was quite strong on diversity issues, and I don't just mean gender diversity issues, I mean very much the wider diversity issues, including disability. So the panel felt that she would actually make quite a good champion for that particular area. The panel obviously recommended that to Chris to see whether Chris had any particular problem with her appointment, which I'm pleased to say you did not, Chris.
No, I'm very
the appointment will be obviously for the next board to make, not for us to make here. But all I would say is that Sarah was also aware that it would affect her current position as co-chair. She assured us that succession planning for the creative industries sector network was well in hand and well underway, and that she felt she could devote sufficient time to the support of the Select Board. So certainly on behalf of the panel, of which I'm the only member present here, I will be happy to recommend her appointment in due course.
George, thank you very much. Any comments, questions, observations to George? Or actually, George is the only panel member.
I was going to make a comment.
Graham.
Only to say, I think there's excellent news. I know Sarah, I think she'd be absolutely terrific and really keep us on our toes. The only thing I would query is, does she need to stand down as the she may want to stand down as the co-chair of the Seconds Board. I'm not sure she's necessarily disqualified as such because she becomes the deputy chair.
That is what she said. So
she thinks she does. Okay, fine. Yeah. Advice. Super.
Yes, Joe.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Okay, any other comments or observations?
Just to reiterate Graham's point that I know Sarah too, and I think it's a fantastic point.
Great, excellent. Yeah. Okay, everyone.
And what about for just the general position of being a member of the business advisory
Just on Graham's question, it would be quite good to clarify whether it's necessary for her to stand down.
Well, we will.
Because whether she wants to is one.
Depends on workload.
We'll double check that.
But for example, I chair the Rural Working Group.
Exactly.
Which rejects you that.
Otherwise, everyone happy to recommend Sarah's appointment?
Yes.
Great. Thank you. Good. In that case, we'll move on to board membership more generally. Adam, are you going to take this, or is that Suzanne? Fine. Well, I thought we were going to do more, but we're not. So really, all this really falls to me to do is to thank those people who we know will not be moving on to the Select Board. I mean, there may be some other councils where we haven't decided yet who's going to which district councils are going to be joining the Select Board. But we do know that Douglas Horner, who's already been mentioned this morning, will not be attending, will not be carrying on. So I think we thanked him last time, but we'll thank him again this time. Paul Thomas, who championed the interest of the housing agenda, he will not be continuing. So thank you to Paul for all that he did. To David Tutt, the leader of Eastbourne, who was very helpful, always very constructive about Eastbourne, and will continue to be an important part, and I'm pleased to say we're through. To Peter Channing. Peter, thank you very much for all that you've done. Always been very constructive, very positive, and a fine advocate for Hastings. So thank you for all you've done, Peter, and we hope this is only we'll have continue to have contact. To Peter Fleming. So thank you very much for all that you've done. I do think that it is important on a board to have a different perspectives and different views, because that is how that is how you have a debate. And if we all agree violently with each other, we'll never get anything done. So we never move forward. So Peter, it's always been you've always been.
Could I just say a very, very few words? Just to say, you know, I wish you all the very best, and I wish no one any ill will. But having been at the very inception at a Kent leaders meeting where Barbara Cooper, who's still at KCG, walked around the room having about a 2-month discussion to get to a Kent and Medway let, walked round, took the very expensive brochures that said Kent and Medway met off the table from all the leaders present, for the then leader of Kent to stand up to say, so we're going to have a Kent and Essex let. We've got tonight to decide it. If we don't decide tonight, then it will be imposed upon us. I have to say, the mood in the room was not good. I think a lot of the comments that were made on that night are still present tonight, today, in terms of the fact that it's incredibly difficult for an area of this size which doesn't actually follow any of the other geographic explanations of the South East, to continue. But I do wish you all well. I will look and heckle from the sidelines. The one thing that I will say is there will be a deficit in two-tier planning and housing authorities on the new board. And you forget them at your peril.
Yeah.
It's very easy to move big strategic pieces, but if they're not connected to anything, as government often finds, you won't get anything done.
Yeah. Thank you, Chairman. So you're right, and we've been making those points without, I'm afraid, any success with the powers that be. I agree with you on that point. I also want to mention David Birch, who is also not going to be continuing, who offered much to LEP debates around the board table and has really constructive support to me personally and to Adam as well, and offered unmatched insights into the business mood in Essex. So we'll miss David. I want to make sure that our thanks to him are included. And last but not least, to George, who is described in my notes as the godfather of the South East. George has always been engaged, has always been supportive of the board and staff. His humour will be, I think,
not missed.
And he'll certainly be missed by me. A tremendous support and so constructive over the last 4 years to me, George. So the LEP will really not be the same without you.
Thank you.
In so many ways.
Thank you, Jim. Had I known that Peter was stepping down, I would have stayed on, of course.
Many would.
But I would actually like to thank you all, and indeed some of the people who are not around the table, Paul Carter, yep. Peter Martin, John Lamb, mm-hmm. and indeed John Kent, as well as Rodney, and as well as your predecessor, Peter Jeremy, who really made what was an immensely difficult task, as Peter rightly pointed out earlier on, a little bit easier. I look at how far we have come, and it is actually encouraging to me to see that the trust between us all has been developed, and that we are actually working as a partnership, as opposed to fighting for our own individual corners. What I want to say is thank you again for all the support you have given me in those formative years. 9 years, I'm glad I'm escaping before the Home Secretary institutes life terms for life, so my punishment will come to an end. I wish you all the very best. I will continue to support you. I chair a number of organisations in Essex, including a housing association. You can count on my continued support should that ever be required. I'm more than happy to give that to you. And thank you to you, Chris, because I'm delighted that the board has reappointed you for further 2 years. You have really taken this organisation forward so that we are fit for purpose.
Thank you.
And finally, thank you to my two fellow vice chairs and for their hospitality. A couple of glasses of wine seem to make the problems become much less significant. So thank you for that.
Jeffy, I didn't want to say.
Can I? What we mustn't forget is George was the first chair. And we were given, as Peter alluded to, a very simple task. Make of it what you will. It's for yours. It's for you to do what you wish and to make it work. There was no guidance from government at that time. It was put together and to bring three parts of three councils with all different agendas together. He had no easy task. I remember, it's strange, his last meeting we were talking about governance, because we had many, many meetings about that, but George always had, and he was absolutely supportive and drove it through, and I don't think we'd be where we are today if George hadn't made that happen. So
I suggest a round of applause to George, to the Peters, and David Birch, and the others who are leaving. So, and for their service. Thank you.
Well,
thank you, everybody. I think that brings the board meeting to an end. Unless there are any other items of business, Joan.
Go on that item 9. There's something I just wanted to ask.
Sure. Yeah.
I'm just looking up there. I see that in success ethics there aren't any female members to the board, which is quite disappointing.
I'd like to comment.
I'm not sure if that will, how that will we actually manage to achieve our
agenda. No, that's good. We have to hit the numbers. Why another?
Yeah. 5 places on 10, and actually, we're actually looking at biasing it towards women to have 3 women and 2 men, which.
Yeah. So I can comment on that. It is a problem, and I'd welcome any advice. So we have 2 spaces. I'm a new chair, and we decided it would be good as a new person in this forum for me to participate. But I lack experience, and David has that experience. I happen to be disabled. I'm registered as a blind person. We've got a difficult decision, and none of the 2 ladies in the Federated Board particularly want to participate. Yeah. So we have a difficult decision of whether we step down the person who's most expert, step down the disabled chair, and press gang a lady who doesn't want to do it. Mm.
I think the answer is we have to. I mean, Joe's right. We have to hit our numbers. We absolutely have to. And if we and we do need to have from success assets, we do need to have we have gender balanced nomination. We have to do that, because if we don't do that, if we do not meet the gender balance targets by the end of February. We will not get the imprimatur from government, and we will not get funding. So we simply, I mean, I'm looking at success ethics. Yes, success ethics. They have to hit that number. We have to have a balanced nomination from, and if necessary, we'll have to take steps to. The steps might be not to register you until you can be gender balanced, because. We have to hit that gender balance. And I take your point about I've raised this with government many times about there are many forms of diversity. There are many forms of widening participation and disability, sexual orientation, racial orientation, and gender are all part of the mix. To focus on one thing, which the government are, is, in my view, nevertheless. That's what they're doing. And so we have been told very clearly that if we don't hit that particular number, we will not get the money. So we have to do it.
I'd be happy to have a talk with you on what we've done in Kent.
Yes. And maybe if I can speak to or be helpful, Miles, in trying to persuade women on your board to put their names forward, I have to do it. We have to get there. We simply cannot... not hit that number.
No, I understand. Part of the issue is perhaps because it's a new board, the selection of board members in the first place.
Right.
It was not clear to me that either the 2 ladies are necessarily either willing or well positioned to add the value to set up as required. If it's a must, then it is most likely I'll step down because I think the experience is important.
I mean, well.
We have to, well, one way or another, is
it was very clear at the meeting on Monday that my appointment was both Mike's step and the board's perspective very short term.
Well, it has to be sorted out really by the 20th of February, because that's the date on which we're the pressure is being put on the business reps is because I have to say the local authority reps, I understand they're democratically elected, and there's nothing we can do about that, but they are all male, and that puts us under enormous pressure for the balance of the board, unfairly, but that's just the way it is. And so, but we are going to hit that number, we have to. Okay. Sorry, George.
Just reporting back on any other business, we were invited as the LEP to make representations in the hearings prior to the Stansted Airport planning application. I registered to represent the LEP at that hearing. Unfortunately, I was not called. I have lodged a fairly strong protest with Uttlesford District Council and questioned the validity of their exercise and indeed whether it was deliberate or not. I'm sure it was not deliberate, but that it was an IT glitch that prevented me from speaking. So we are waiting to hear further news about what the IT glitch was, I believe, Adam.
We are, and it is helpful for us to issue a...
I would certainly, if you're asking the public to attend for or indeed against the application, then it's got to be a level playing field.
Okay, thank you very much, everybody. That's the end of the meeting. Thank you very much.